And he went out, no doubt very pleased with himself. I spent the next hour frantically trying to dig under the wall of the cabin with my bare hands, but it was no go. The earth was too hard and full of roots and stones. I made a pitifully small scrape and then hurriedly filled it in again and stamped it down in case they saw what I'd been up to. Anyway, even if I had succeeded in breaking out, they'd have run me to earth in the forest. They were trained woodsmen, and I'd no idea where I was. Once my initial panic had passed, I could only sit in miserable contemplation. There was a slim chance that before tomorrow evening something might happen to change Hansen's lunatic plan. Or I might receive a heaven-sent opportunity to escape, although I doubted that. Failing these things, I should certainly be launched, literally, too, into the most dangerous adventure of my life, and with precious little prospect of coming through it. So I would end here, in a godforsaken, miserable German ruin, trying to rescue a man I'd never met. I, who wouldn't stir a finger to rescue my own grandmother. It was all too much, and I had a good self-pitying blubber to myself. And then I cursed and prayed a bit, invoking the God, in whom I believe only in moments of real despair, to intervene on my behalf. I tried to console myself that I'd come out of desperate straits before. Aye, but wasn't my luck about due to run out then? No, no, Jesus would see the repentant sinner right, and I would never swear or fornicate or steal or lie again. I strove to remember the seven deadly sins to make sure I missed none of them, and then cudgelled my brains for the Ten Commandments so that I could promise never to break them again, although, mind you, I'd never set up a graven image in my life. I should have felt purified and at peace after all this, but I found I was just as terrified as ever. So I ended by damning the whole system. I knew it would make no difference anyway. That next day was interminable. My heart was in my mouth every time footsteps approached the cabin door, and it was almost a relief when Sapton and his two companions came for me in the evening. They brought a good deal of gear with them, explaining that we should make all our preparations here before setting out, and just the activity of getting ready took my mind momentarily off the horrors ahead. First, Hansen and I stripped right down so that we could be rubbed all over with grease as a protection against the cold when we took to the water. Sapton whistled softly when he saw my scars, the place where a pistol ball had burrowed from my side towards my spine, the whip marks left by the swine gall shaft, and the white weal on my thigh where my leg was broken at Piper's Fort. It was an impressive collection, and even if most of them were in the rear, they weren't the kind of decorations you normally see on a coward. "You've been lucky," says he, "so far."